We're going to do some smiting today. Amen? Jerry Savelle preached a message at Anaheim many years ago when the Copelands were in Anaheim and did their West Coast Believers Convention. He preached a message called God Will Smite Your Debt. Amen? So we're going to do some smiting today. We're not just going to come after those things, lack and stuff like that, but we're going to smite some sickness and disease. We're going to smite some condemnation. How about that? Are you ready? Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for great grace upon each and every one of us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2 from the NLT said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So I understand, and I believe many of you do, that God has given us the ability to walk with him to the degree that our enemies become our footstool. Because he literally has put all things through his resurrection power under our feet. In Galatians 3:13 and 14, it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Now notice this next part, verse 14. Read it with me. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The blessing. One person said this about the blessing. I love this. Everything good is in the blessing. Everything bad is in the curse. There's no middle ground. I'm going for the blessing. Amen? One person defined the blessing as an empowerment to prosper. Well, if the blessing is an empowerment to prosper, the curse is an empowerment to fail. Amen? And we are not failures. We are winners. We are victors in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the blessings, of course, we could talk about this all day long and all week long. But one of the blessings we discovered is found in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. Notice with me, it says, "When the enemy rises up against you," anybody seen that happen? Notice, "they will be smitten before thy face. They will come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways." Now, the Hebrew word for smitten means a sudden, quick, decisive, fatal blow with the intent to utterly conquer and destroy and defeat. I like that, don't you? After all, isn't that what David did to Goliath? You know, in 1 Samuel 17:49, David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone and slung it. And what did he do? He smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Is it fair to say that that confrontation ended quickly? It was a sudden, it was a quick, and it was a decisive blow. As a matter of fact, when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Now, concerning the children of Israel, notice with me in Exodus 23:27, he said, "I will send my terror." And this is in the context where he's praying a blessing over them. He said, "You will serve the Lord your God. I'll take disease away from the midst of you. There will be no miscarriages." And then he went on to say, "And I will send terror ahead of you, and I will create panic among all the people's lands who you invade." He says, "I will make your enemies to turn and run." And that's exactly what the devil does when you resist him in the name of Jesus. He will run from you as in terror. Now the RRT says this, and we don't have this translation. This is the Rick Renner translation of James 4:7. I like how Rick thinks, and I like how he talks and writes. Rick Renner translation, James 4:7 says, "Stand firmly against the devil." That's right. "Be unbending and unyielding in a way that he knows he's up against a serious contender. If you will take this kind of stand, He will tuck his tail and run like a criminal who knows the day of his prosecution is upon him. You like that? I thought you would. Once you start resisting him, he will flee from you as in stark terror. Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy 28:7, in the Message translation, I want you to notice this one. This is very good. He said, God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They will come at you on one road and run away on seven roads. Everyone say seven roads. Now, the context, of course, is a very, very important context, because in verse 8 in the King James, notice what it says. The Lord shall command his blessing upon you in your storehouses. Do you receive that? In your storehouses. Amen. And all that you set your hand unto, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Amen. And so we see here in verse 8 that the word of God speaks of blessed storehouses. What this is suggesting to us this morning is that the fleeing enemy will leave a wealth of supplies behind and provisions for you to take at your will. Adam Clark says this of this. Adam Clark says, they shall come out against thee one way, in the firmest and most united manner, and flee seven ways, and shall be utterly broken, confounded or confused, and finally routed or defeated. I like that. Well, let's ask ourselves then this morning, what does the number seven represent? He comes against you on one road, but flees before you on seven roads. Everyone say seven. Now, the number seven means completeness. The number seven also means perfection. It also means complete and total victory. And when you stop and think about it, there are seven names of Jehovah. Seven redemptive names. And as you really think about life, we could probably break down the enemies that come against us in the number seven. For example, there is number one, the enemy of sickness and disease. Number two, there's the enemy of poverty and lack. Number three, there's the enemy of defeat and failure. Number four, there's the enemy of worry and care. Number five, there's the enemy of confusion. How many of you know that God's not the author of confusion? Number six, there's the enemy of condemnation. And number seven, there's the enemy of fear. But I'm proud to report to you today that the seven redemptive names of Jehovah trump everything and anything the enemy may come against you with. He may come against you this way, but he's going to have to flee before you in seven ways. Amen. So let's just take a brief look at these this morning. Are you still here? Let's look at the seven enemies and seven redemptive names of God. I promise not to keep you here all day, just most of the day. Number one, the enemy of sickness and disease. Well, is he not Jehovah Rapha? Is he not the Lord that healeth you? In Exodus 15:26, he said, I am the Lord your healer. He didn't say, I will be or I was. He said, I am today your healer. Now, if you will arm yourself with healing scriptures, you'll be able to stand strong when sickness and disease comes your way. Scriptures like this, Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Scriptures like this, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. Now notice with me, that's past tense. If we were healed, we are healed. And if we are healed, like Frederick Casey Price said, we is healed. Say with me, I is the healed. I are the healed. Jehovah Rapha is my great physician. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I smite, I come against sickness and disease. Sickness and disease, I smite you. You've got to go right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Somebody says, well, I didn't feel a thing. We're not living by our feelings. We're living by faith. I trust in God, my healer, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth me. He is the Lord that keepeth me. He is the Lord that strengthens me. He is the Lord that causes every organ and every tissue of my body to function in the perfection to which Jehovah Rapha has created it to function. Hey! You are the healed. And you need to see you healed before you feel you healed. And you need to call you healed before you see you healed. Amen? Amen. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were until they are. Amen? Amen. So number one, there's this enemy of sickness and disease. It's lurking. But oh, thank God, if you open up the Word of God, you will always see scriptures that promise you and give you the fact that you are the healed. Amen? Number two, then there's this enemy of poverty and lack. Well, for the enemy of poverty and lack, we have Jehovah Yireh, or we could say it this way, the way we say it in the Western world, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh. And this, of course, is from Genesis chapter 22, when Abram was offering up Isaac, his son. And Isaac was laying there on the altar. In verse 6 of Genesis 22, it says, and Abram placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked on together. And Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. And he said, yes, my son. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Notice with me in verse 8, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. This is where we get on the mountain, it shall be seen. Literally, the one who goes before and the one who sees before. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And because Abram did not withhold his son, he was fully willing, praise God, to offer up his son, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Because Abram was willing to do that, God was willing to send his only begotten son and not withhold him for the salvation and the deliverance of all mankind. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. He is your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Don't doubt it for one moment. He's got you. He has set up glorious divine connections for you. I declare promotions over your life in 2025. I declare great ideas and concepts and insights over your lives in the name of Jesus. I declare supernatural angelic intervention on your behalf in 2025. I declare in the name of Jesus that the angels are working, causing things to come together for you in 2025 because he is good and he is your provider and he is for you and he's on your side. Amen. Woo, glory to God. He said, here's the wood, here's this, here's that. But where is the offering? Oh, thank God, Jesus was our offering. Amen? And so we need to take authority over lack. We need to take authority over debt. Now, a smart thing for you to do would not to be to go into further debt. I mean, if you're serious about getting out of debt, you might need to do some cutting of some credit cards. I just heard the organ there. I don't know. I don't know if that went over real big or not, but it's true. If you're serious about being free from sickness and disease, there are certain things that you can do physically to accommodate the healer to manifest himself in your life. Amen? Amen? He might deal with you. I don't know what he's going to deal with you on. He might deal with you for a season to cut this off or cut that off. I'm not sure what he's going to tell you. But whatever he tells you, you need to do it. You need to be obedient to it and be faithful to it. Why? Because that positions you for Jehovah Rapha to show up on the scene and do for you for what you could not do for yourself. And so it's the same thing in the area of finances. Amen? He may tell you to cut this. He may tell you to cut that. He may tell you don't go out and eat so much. I don't know. He may tell you don't eat so much. I'm not God. I'm not here to tell you what he's going to tell you to do. But whatever he tells you to do, do it. And then you will be in a position to smite some lack, yes, to smite some debt. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So how many of you are ready to do that right now? So he's come against us on this road of lack. He's come against us on this road of debt. But say it with me, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mighty name, hallelujah, I take my dominion. I take my authority over poverty and lack. Poverty and lack, you must flee. Because Jehovah Jireh is my God. He is my provider. Therefore, I believe for abundant provision in the name of Jesus. Smite it right now with me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You must go. Debt, you must go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number three, there's this enemy of defeat and failure. Well, for this enemy of defeat and failure, we have another redemptive name. And that redemptive name is Jehovah Nissi. Everyone say Jehovah Nissi. And Jehovah Nissi means the Lord my victory. And Keith Hershey's theme for 2025 is the Lord our banner. And the Lord our banner really is a word from Jehovah Nissi. It means our banner, it means our flag, and it means our standard. Now listen carefully. A banner in ancient times was a rallying point for troops during battle. And what the banner, when it was lifted up and it was raised up, it symbolized identity, it symbolized protection, but it also symbolized victory. So I think it's important for us to understand that this was introduced way back in Exodus chapter 17 during a time where Israel was being attacked by the Amalekites. The Amalekites came against the children of Israel as the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness. And Moses instructed Joshua to lead the Israelites into battle. And while they were being led into battle, Moses stood up on a hill with a staff of God in his hands. And Moses' hands were not down like this, like a lot of people are in church. Moses' hands were raised up. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But Moses' hands were raised. And as long as Moses held up his hands with the staff, the children of Israel prevailed. But when his hands grew weary, when his hands grew very tired, the Amalekites then gained the upper hand. But Moses had some helpers near him. He had a couple helpers by the name of P.T. and Mike. By the name of Raul and Al. Amen. By the name of Kimberly and P.N. and May. He had some Aaron and he had a guy by the name of Glory to God. And what they did is they came along and they supported Moses' hands by holding them up until sunset. Ensuring Israel's total victory. And that's exactly what happened. And after that, Moses built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victor. No matter how tired, no matter how weary you may feel, keep your hands raised. Keep your focus on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Run with patience the race that is set before you. The race is almost over. It's not a time to hit the sidelines. It's a time to give it all you got. Give Him all the praise you got. Give Him all the rejoicing you got. Amen? And so these raised hands symbolize dependence on God. How many of you know that victory is assured when believers trust Him completely? Amen? And we could think of several scriptures. One scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:57, which thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say that with me if you would. Thanks be to God, who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Now that tells me that victory is offered, but victory must be received. You can't be talking defeat and moaning and groaning and complaining every day of your life and expect to live in victory. Victory must be received, just like the gift of righteousness must be received. The victory is yours, but you got to take it. Amen. Every day of your life. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, this is a great scripture. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes you to triumph. Amen. Say it to me, always. Always. He always causes you to triumph. You know, that might be a good thing for you to do early in the morning. Praise the Lord. When you look in the mirror, don't be moved by what you see, incidentally. It might be just good for you to look in the mirror and say, hey, this is my day of triumph. This is my day of victory. He's always causing me to triumph. I'm going to triumph on the freeway. I'm going to triumph on the grocery store. I'm going to triumph in my relationships. Thanks be to God. He is your victor. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the one who goes before you. Amen? Are you ready to do some smiting? I love Pastor Hagen. That's Kenneth E. Hagen's son, Pastor Hagen, who's really carried the torch very well for Rhema. They have hundreds and hundreds of schools worldwide. And one of the things that Pastor Hagen says quite frequently, he says this, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Try that on for size. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Now look at your nearby and say this, you cannot be defeated and I'm not going to let you quit. Amen. I'm not a quitter. How about you? You know, if Brenda and I were quitters, we'd have quit a long time ago. We'd look for something a little bit easier. But you know, you get out of the will of God, it doesn't get easier, it gets more difficult. A lot of people looking for something easier, they're looking for greener pastures, only to find that those greener pastures are burnt over. Now, there's a lesson in there for some of you here today. Be content with what you have. Be grateful for what you have. And God will take the seed that you have sown year after year, decades after decades, and He will multiply the seed sown. Amen? I'm looking for some multiplication. How about you? Woo, glory to God. I remember talking to Dad Hagen when he was out here one time. We were up where he was staying, and we were talking about it. And he was very, very emphatic about this one point. He says, you know, many people have left their place that they should not have left, and as a result, another person has gotten their harvest. Another person has gotten their blessing. You know, I think he might have been talking to me. Because, oh, I've had imaginations. I've had the U-Haul pull up into my driveway many, many a year. Not so much in the last 20, 30 years. But in the early years, glory to God. You know, Monday morning is not a pastor's favorite day. That is if you walk by sight. But I've learned not to walk by sight on Monday mornings. I've learned that the Word of God works for me just as well on Monday mornings that it does on Easter Sunday. Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you getting anything out of it? Say it with me real strong. I'm not a quitter. I am a winner. You see, when Brenda and I look into this word, everyone hold the word up, whether it's your device or whatever. When Brenda and I look into this word, we find scriptures like, it is the perfect law of liberty. This word has not been designed to place you in bondage. This word has been placed to liberate you and to free you up. And so when I look into the perfect law of liberty, I'll guarantee you, all I see is victory. All I see is victory. I don't see defeat. Hey, encourage yourself by going to the last chapter in the Bible, in Revelation. The back of the book says we win. But the beginning of the book says we win. The middle of the book says we win. We've got 66 books that declares we are winners. So say it with me real strong. In the name of Jesus, I take my place of victory in Christ. And I remind you, devil, that I'm not the defeated one. That you are the defeated one. I am not the loser. You are a loser. Therefore, in the name above every name, I take dominion over failure and defeat. I remind you, devil, that he is Jehovah Nissi. He is my victor. He is my champion. And in him I live. And in him I move. And in him I have my being. Come on, do some smiting right now. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. All I see is victory. And then there's this enemy of worry and care. We talked about it last Sunday, so we won't talk about it today. But for worry and care, we have Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. And as you give your burdens to him, and as you cast your care on him, you will be lifted and you will be free from the oppression of being weighed down and loaded down with life's cares. Amen? So say with me, I cast all my care about life's challenges in my life and in the life of others. I cast them on you. You are my great caretaker. In the name of Jesus, I put care, I put worry, I put it on the run. In the name of Jesus, for you are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace, and I have peace in every area of my life. Oh, glory to God. Let's do some smiting. We've smited sickness and disease. We've smited debt. Amen. We smited defeat, and now we're smiting fear and care and worry. Amen. And then there's this enemy of confusion. We alluded to it earlier. God's not the author of confusion, but he is the author of peace. And I love Psalms 23, which says, he is Jehovah Rapha. Raha, everyone say Raha. Meaning this, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And as the Lord your shepherd, you can trust him to lead you and guide you beside the still waters. You can trust him to lead you and guide you as your good shepherd in all the truth for your life. Amen. So say this with me. The Lord is. Smile while you say it. The Lord is. Jehovah Raha. He is my great shepherd. You lead me and guide me into all the truth for my life. You're leading me and guiding me beside still waters. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, confusion, and I put a stop on you now in the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. For you are my shepherd. Oh, I like that, don't you? So don't talk confusion. Stop talking and stop saying, well, I don't know what we're going to do. You just never know what we're going to do. I just don't know. I don't know. Well, you know what? Jesus came so that you could know. He came and gave you the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And you can know exactly what you need to know for your life. Say with me, He is my good shepherd. Amen. And then there's the enemy of condemnation and shame. Well, thank God we have another redemptive name for condemnation and shame. And His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu. What does that mean? That means the Lord is my righteousness. Amen. And the name, the Lord, our righteousness, emphasizes this, that God is the source of righteousness and that He provides His righteousness for His people. Now, this is probably one of the greatest revelations I got as a new Christian, as a new believer. Because I lived under a cloud of condemnation because of my past, because of some of the things that I did. And when I was in a treatment center, I was in a treatment center from October to April 1st of 1974 and 75. I went over the hill one time, and I went on about a 10-day run using drugs and alcohol. And I got to the end, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to go back. So I went back. And I, you know, stayed in there for quite a long period of time. They didn't really know what to do with me. So they just kept me there. And they let me work. And they let me work at I worked at a turkey factory. Anybody ever eat Jennie-O turkeys? That's where I worked. I mean, there was so much turkey going on that people started looking like turkeys. I'm telling you. I would go into the lunchroom, and it wasn't very soundproof, and everyone was talking at one time, and you couldn't understand them. It sounded like they were gobbling, you know. It was like a manifestation of turkey talk. It could have been the devil, I don't know. But, you know, they let me go early in the morning, then I'd come back in the afternoon, and I'd just stay at the state hospital and just acted like I had good sense, really didn't know what to do. Didn't want to go back to the Twin Cities where I grew up, which is Minneapolis-St. Paul. This treatment center I was in was about 100 miles west of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so I went up there for treatment. And they didn't want to let me go back to the city because how many of you know there could be trouble in the city? There could be some trouble in the city. There could be some old friends in the city that hadn't kind of changed like I'd changed. Amen? So I stayed in this rural town 100 miles west of Minneapolis, but there were all sorts of oppressive things coming against my soul and coming against my mind. See, when the devil has had you as one of his champions, he doesn't want to so easily let you go. And so what he did in my life is he brought all sorts of images and all sorts of imaginations and all sorts of things about the past. And it was quite tormenting. How many of you know that the spirit of fear has torment? It certainly does. But oh, thank God, when you get into God's family, there's no fear in love. Amen. Amen. Amen? And so for this period of time, but then on March 17th, 1975, I went to a full gospel crusade in a high school, amen, in Wilmer, Minnesota. And I heard for the first time the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I believe I was the first one at the altar to give my heart to Jesus. Woo, glory to God. I went back to the treatment center that night, and all the guys were stoned and sitting around. Yeah, they were stoned in the treatment center, certainly. And I said, guys, I've been saved. And one guy looked at me with squinty little eyes and said, yeah, and you'll probably be a preacher too. He was prophesying. So I got saved. Everyone say, Pastor got saved. Are you glad Pastor Mark got saved? Amen. I'm glad I got saved. And then 2 weeks later, they let me out of the hospital. But I didn't go back to the drug addicts. I went to a home Bible study. And in this home Bible study, they were singing songs, "It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going." I don't know if you remember that song. But I tell you, there were about 30 or 40 people in this little living room in a suburb of Minneapolis. And Paul Arnopoulos, he's a Greek pastor. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He had a feeding ministry in Minneapolis for years and years. They fed people by the thousands, hundreds of thousands over the year. But Paul was just getting started, and he gave an altar call for salvation. Well, I raised my hand. I didn't know, you know, I wanted to make sure I was saved. Because it had been a couple weeks, you know. And so I raised my hand, and I said, yeah, I want to get saved. And then they said, there's another gift called the infilling, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Who wants it? Me. I want everything. That's the kind of guy I was. I want it all. So I stood forth, and then about 100 hands got on me. And I heard this funny language. And even though I didn't speak in tongues that night, something happened on the inside of me. I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I just hadn't spoken yet. That was an absolute wonderful experience. And then as I got off by myself, suddenly I started speaking a couple of words in a different language. And then I was faithful to speak what I had, but you know what happened? More words came. And I began to speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues. And I've been speaking in tongues ever since. The fullness of the Spirit. But you see, even though I was thoroughly saved and thoroughly baptized with the Holy Spirit, there was still this oppression of condemnation. There was still this oppression of shame. See, I didn't know what I know today. But I purposed in my heart that I was going to find out. And in 1975, they graduated the first year of Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma. And Jim Caseman came out. And he came to that little town of Wilmer, Minnesota. I remember he had great big black horn-rimmed glasses. But he just preached the word and preached the word and preached the word and preached the word. And all of a sudden, the reality of Jehovah's Tsidkenu dropped into my spirit. The scripture, he was made sin for Mark Thomas, who knew no sin, that I might be made, listen to this, the righteousness of God in him. That happened to you, Don. We came out of similar lifestyles. Hey, look what the Lord is doing. And look what the Lord will do in your life if you will put condemnation and shame aside and step up and receive the reality of your redemption, the reality of your right standing with God. It'll give you the right to stand in the presence of a holy God as if sin never existed before, without a sense of guilt or inferiority or condemnation. And since that day, when I got that revelation, I refused to let it go. I refused to let the reality of my redemption and my righteousness go. I'm holding fast. How many of you will hold fast with me? So say it with me right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over guilt. I take authority over shame. I take authority over condemnation. I smite you in the name of Jesus, and I demand you to go and to leave me alone. Condemnation, go. Condemnation, be removed out of my life. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He has made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and smite it. Amen. Glory to God. We got time for one more. You ready for one more? The last one. Oh, glory to God. This is a good one. It's the enemy of fear. How many of you know that fear is a real thing? There are many types of fear. People have all sorts of different phobias. But when I think of the greatest fears that is present, I think even within the church, even within the body of Christ, is the fear of being alone. It's the fear of being alone which opens up the door to a spirit of loneliness. And you know what? We don't ever have to be lonely. And we don't ever have to be afraid to be alone. Because the truth is, he is Jehovah Shammah. And Jehovah Shammah is one of the redemptive names, which means he is the Lord that is there. He is the Lord that's there for you. But also, he is the Lord that is ever present with you. And this name is mentioned in Ezekiel 48:35, which refers to the future restoration of Israel and the establishment of God's presence in Jerusalem. In the context of Ezekiel, the name signifies the presence that will permanently dwell with his people. And it reads this way: this city will be 18,000 cubits roundabout, and the name of the city from that day shall be called, "The Lord is there." Woo, glory to God. That was God speaking to his children. Now that we have a new covenant with him, God has spoken to his children that I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I am there for you. I am on your side. So fear not, little flock, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And my hand is upon you for good. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is present. He's present. He's not just only with us, Emmanuel. He's not only God with us, but he's also God for us. And he's also God on the inside of us. Can you say amen? Amen. And what this does, it emphasizes the intimate relationship with his people and his readiness to be present in our lives. Amen. Say this with me: Father, I thank you. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. I know that you are Jehovah Shammah, that you are present in my life, that you are here. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I put the spirit of fear and loneliness on the run. Devil, I come against you with the mighty name of Jesus. Stand with me and say this boldly. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is present and he is working on my behalf in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll come against you one way, but he will flee before you seven ways. These seven redemptive names are simply arsenal in your weaponry against the onslaught of the enemy. I want to encourage you at the very end of 2024 to soar into 2025 with the revelation that you have been redeemed and that you are redeemed of the Lord.